you for being a Bump 2 subscriber. In this exclusive podcast, my conversation with John Sifka goes deep into the disability experience. I share some things I seldom share, and we explore how one's worldview influences one's life. And we were just talking about your being on the team, and that your coach hated cutting anybody.
He didn't like to cut kids if he didn't have to, but he realized that obviously he had one of the best teams in the state. They were undefeated for several years running, and as I said, I came in to try out, and after cutting me, he decided from that point on he was not gonna. He was not going to cut any more kids. So the following season, which was my sophomore year, he instituted a junior varsity team and a no-cut policy that remains at the school to this day. Fast forward years later, he was honored by the USTA, United States Tennis Association, with an award that, that recognized his efforts in this area, and I was invited to come back and videotape, be part of a video tribute to him, if you will, that they were going to show at the awards ceremony. And so that was my small way of thanking him. And as I said, that's an experience that I draw from to this very day. I'm still in touch with him. He still coaches the team. I graduated high school. Well, I won't call Jim out on that. So I graduated high school many years ago, and as I said, he's still coaching the team. And at least up until COVID hit, we would get together from time to time. But we check in with each other, and he's just a wonderful, wonderful, modest man who had just a tremendous impact on my life.
Now, where did the Yvonne Lendl poster come in?
So the Yvonne Lendl poster came in. I was poster child for the March of Dimes, I think, for 3 years. And he was on the last poster that I was on with for the March of Dimes. And so what ended up transpiring from there, Yvonne went to an event where all of the major athletic brands, Nike and Reebok and all of them, they do an event where the athletes that are part of their endorsement deals are there signing autographs and so on and so forth. And there were people from at the time it was called the National Foundation of Wheelchair Tennis, based out of California. Years later, they ultimately were partnered with the USTA and are now under their umbrella. But there were people from the National Foundation who were in line to meet Yvonne because they wanted Yvonne to help them. They wanted him to be an ambassador, if you will, for wheelchair tennis. And so when they finally got to meet him in line, they said they asked him to be an ambassador, and he said he would do it. But he said he had a young friend in Connecticut that wanted to learn how to play wheelchair tennis, and he would help them if they would help him. And so they reached out to my family, and I was flown out to participate in a camp out in California that was very tennis focused. And when we came back to Connecticut, my mom looked around and quickly realized that there were no camps like that, not only in Connecticut, but in the entire Northeast. And so with the help of her friends and folks from the National Foundation, and as well as Yvonne, who did a tennis fundraiser for us for many years until he retired, and then it turned into a golf fundraiser, raised the money to get the camp started. And my mother ran the camp by herself for 5 years before turning it over to the Hospital for Special Care here in Connecticut. And they've been running it now for the last 25, 26 years. So the camp is going 30 years strong. Yvonne is still involved in the golf fundraiser. And I was a camper for several years, and then transitioned into a counselor role for many, many years. And it's a wonderful, wonderful camp. It's wonderful to see the kids with each other and interacting. And I think the thing that my mother is most proud of one of the things she's most proud of is that with all of the with all of the fundraising and everything that goes on with the camp, the camp is free to the kids and has been for its entire run. So the kids come for free. They it's a day camp, and it's, as I said, it's just a wonderful experience.
That's amazing. You know, over the last, say, 20 years, have things changed a lot in the disability community, would you say?
Yes, I think you see a lot. I think where I see it, you see a lot more integration in the class, in the classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, especially with COVID, we've seen a lot of technological advances or technological opportunities that have been taken that the disability community has been begging for, if not screaming for many years, in terms of being able to be educated from home or work from home, you know, utilizing that technology and taking advantage of it, that has opened a lot more doors that seemingly were not open for the disability community. I think the ADA has gone a long way to making some of those changes, and I think, you know, it's been interesting to watch the evolution of how things have changed for the disability community in the last number of years. That being said, there's still a lot of work to do. There's still an awful lot of work to do, and I just hope to continue to be part of the conversation while I'm around.
Yeah, no, I think access continues to be an issue. You know, it's gotten better, certainly. Mm-hmm. I was down at White Sands, this big gypsum bunch of sand dunes in southern New Mexico not too long ago. And one of the things that really impressed me is they have a boardwalk that goes out into the dunes, mm-hmm. so that anybody can get out into the dunes and get a feel for what this incredible natural resource is like.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, it was just great. And I wonder, have a lot of the national parks, you know, really stepped up to the plate in this type of thing?
That's a good question. You know, I don't have a lot of experience really with the national parks. What I can tell you is my wife and I, for a few years, were going to Cape Cod for vacation. And the first beach, we were told about a specific beach out there. And when we went out there, we saw probably in a similar vein as you're mentioning, Pat, we saw these mats that were rolled out into the sand quite far out. So you could really go as close to the water as you wanted to, as long as these mats were going down. And having gone to a few beaches here in Connecticut, we remembered that we never saw any mats like that in Connecticut. So when I came back, this was while I was working in the governor's office, I made mention of this to our state agency that works directly with the beaches, and within a year or so, they were instituting these. I believe they're called Moby mats. They were bringing these Moby mats to many of the state beaches. So that was cool to be a part of affecting that change.
Yeah. Psychologically, growing up, what are some of the hardest things to deal with?
I think one of the hardest things to deal with was sort of this, a feeling of isolation and alienation, particularly when you went to school. For many years, kids didn't know how to deal with me. And frankly, in the early years, a lot of the teachers didn't. I was sort of an outcast. So the only place I really felt comfortable was at home with my own family, because they, as I said, they treated me quote unquote normal. In my early years in school, the teacher's ideas of allowing me to participate in recess was to bring my desk chair, my school desk chair outside and let me sit in it and observe the other kids playing. And I very vividly remember one of my classmates coming over to me, I think with Matchbox cars, and he wanted to play with me. And I got out of my chair and on the ground next to him. So simply just playing on the ground. And I got in trouble for that when we came back out of recess. I was not allowed to get out of this chair. And it wasn't really until I got into fifth or sixth grade, transferred actually out of that school until that experience started to change, and kids were a little older and arguably more mature and didn't treat me like an outcast, didn't treat me like I was different and almost not human. I think that was really the hardest thing to experience and go through. I also remember in my very early years, whenever my brother would have a friend come over, I would always attach myself to them. And that was a source of frustration for him. Why is John always hanging out with me and my friends? And I finally got to the point where I told him, I said, it's because I don't have my own. So I'm attaching myself to you and yours because it's all that I have. And your friends treat me normal too. Not for anything, but that had a huge impact on me as well. My brother's friends always treated me exactly the same. So it's probably a longer answer than you wanted, but that was really the hardest thing, I think, dealing with growing up.
Yeah, no, I talked to Eric Weinmayer recently, who went blind at 14. Mm-hmm. And he said a lot of very similar things. The sense of isolation of not being included was really difficult. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like for you, things turned around a little bit as you got older, perhaps in college.
Really, in high school, it started to change because I kids were not afraid to socialize with me. So I started to gain some friendships in fifth or sixth grade. And then in high school, just branching out and doing things like trying out for the tennis team. And then after my sophomore year, I transferred to a different school it was a private school that had smaller classroom sizes. And that had a huge impact on me because I was no longer a number. I was a name. I had an identity. And that school was life changing in terms of the way that they treated me. And I was the first kid in a wheelchair to attend that school as well. And they made a lot of structural accommodations to their campus. It was an open campus with many buildings to allow me the opportunity to go there. And that had a huge impact on me.
What do you think comes out of these experiences of feeling a little bit different or isolated in a positive sense?
I'm sorry, say that again.
What comes out of some of these emotional experiences of feeling isolated? One of the things that I see from a lot of people certainly is increased compassion.
Oh, I think without a doubt is increased compassion. And you really, I think when you are forced into being alone, it gives you a lot of time to really observe people and really learn who they are. Because you can learn a lot, I think, for as much as you can learn by interacting with people, you can learn about them when they're not interacting with you. And you can learn a lot because they're not interacting with you and in the way they're not interacting with you. And it really helps you learn what qualities you're looking for in people that you want in your life, not just as a kid, but as you get older.
Looking ahead, what would you like to do personally in the disability community?
I would like to be a source of inspiration. And I don't mean that from any, ego-driven area. That's one of the things that I experienced in moving back to Connecticut after being away for a decade. When I moved back, my brother was the mayor of our town, had been for several years. And when we were growing up, my brother went through a long stretch where people always referred to him as John's brother because of my disability and things that I was doing, whether it was March of Dimes poster child or something else. But he went through a period where he was sort of under my shadow. And I know that was a tough thing for him and a bit of a source of resentment. But when I came back to Connecticut, people were referring to me as his brother. And I loved it because I was proud of what he was doing and what he had accomplished. and continue to accomplish. But also people would tell me, you know, John, you've led this wonderful life. Their words, not mine, this trailblazing, inspirational life. You know, you should write about it. You should talk about it. And so I've spent the last several years, you know, doing some writing, and man, if I could get into inspirational, motivational speaking and do that kind of thing for the disability community and beyond, I would love that opportunity. I think, you know, you're only put on the earth for a short while, and if you can be a source of inspiration to others, why not?
What advice would you have for somebody with a disability, a young person facing these, you know, some of these social obstacles and things? What would you tell them?
Wow, that's a great question. I know you can't see me, Pat, but I'm thinking of an answer. you know, I would tell him, look within yourself to turn your disability into a strength, because you can. Celebrate your differences. I've learned that so often in so many ways through life. Celebrate your differences. Embrace your differences, and let it really become, you know, part of who you are, while at the same time, don't be defined by your disability. You alone are in charge of creating your identity. Nobody else can do that for you. And look for the people in your life that can help you turn your disability into a strength.
If you could have a redo and be born with fully functional legs, would you do it?
No.
Because
of the person that I've become today. And you know, if I just, I appreciate things in a different way than other people do. But if I, you know, if I had to be born without the use of something, I would take my legs every time, because I still get to see beautiful things, hear beautiful pieces of music, all things that persons with other disabilities don't get to take advantage of and don't get to experience in their life. And, because I've just found that for me, I don't need my legs, and life is great without them, without the use of them. I love the life that I have. I love how my life has turned out, and I wouldn't change a thing.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life's path, because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. You can subscribe to our free podcast at www.bumpintheroad.us or become a premium member to hear the full conversation. Just go to www.bumpintheroad.us for more information and to sign up.